Welcome back to Here's What I Do Get, the only show formerly dedicated to life's toughest issues, now dedicated to life's greatest pleasures. I'm your host, Ted Burt, and with me today, as always, back from the Phantom Zone,
yeah,
Tim the Handlebreaker.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. It's April. We of course, both live in Tulsa right now. I have not yet quit my job.
No, you
haven't. But I'm on the verge. I'm on the verge. If we're going back in time. We're making up for April's bonus episode 65. It's like a Sisyphean task
yes,
of slowly pushing this boulder back up the hill to catch up to where we're supposed to be on bonus content.
Yeah.
But we're going to do it. We're going to make it. I believe we're going to make it.
It might be more like Promethean.
Or we're just getting picked apart.
And then, you know, sun rises and you're back to full.
Yeah, that's probably do it again. Good point. How was your, you had like a week off of doing this?
I've had like 2 weeks off, I think.
Well, I mean, we did this same episode set up last weekend.
Did we? Last Friday. It's been so long, man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Weird. It's weird.
Oh no, I guess it is close to 2 weeks off. It'll be 2 weeks as of tomorrow. Yeah. So because I had a week off there too, because Joel and I did an episode on Thursday night, and then I didn't do an episode again until
the Tuesday after. Recently. Yeah.
I gotta say, it was kind of nice. It was nice to like wake up and just be like, I'm just gonna like do normal people stuff for today.
I had a slight panic attack that I always do when we have some bump in the schedule, mm-hmm, where like come Thursday sometime around 7-8 p.m. I'm like, oh, I didn't do the write-up, or I make the thumbnail, and I didn't really get that this time because I knew, but it was just something in the back of my head was like it's that feeling that you forgot to do something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah
I know that feeling. I had that feeling a lot to like 2 or 3 months right after I graduated from college, where
it's the worst
home and from work, you know, working a job. And I've probably talked about this on the show and watching TV. And then I'd just be like, oh shit, I should probably be working on that paper project or some other bullshit that was given to me to take away my free time. And then I'm like, oh wait, that's right, I'm not in school anymore. I can just watch this TV show and not feel any fucking guilt.
Yeah.
The dishes are done. The apartment's mostly clean. Yeah, I'm just going to watch this TV show and not feel any guilt.
Yeah.
And now you're free of this.
Yeah.
And I am no longer free of this. Although, really, the amount of work is pretty small. I haven't gotten 302 out, but that's only because I keep getting interrupted in editing for my real job. Last night, I finally got back in my office and it's still up on my computer. At this point, it's 10 o'clock. And I was like, I'll just fucking finish editing tomorrow, and turn my computer off and left, 'cause I was tired of being there.
No, I totally understand it.
Yeah. Well, are you ready to get into some do gets?
Yeah, let's do it.
What is your first do get this month?
Here's what I do get. Hot sauce. I don't even remember if I've brought this in before. I probably have, but it's our show and I don't care.
Yeah, I love hot sauce so much. I just drink it all the time. I feel great. I think you've brought in soup and hot sauce, Maddox.
I've had a turning point the last couple of years with my love of it. And because when you really start getting into it, you start getting into like anything, right? Like you're super into whiskey, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to try you start out like, you know, finding what you like, and you see like you experiment. But then you get into like the nitty gritty of it, right? Like, oh, I want to try this barrel proof version, right?
That's and what I drank last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in a different sense, the hot sauce community, it seems to And I think it's changed a couple of years over the years, like I have, but it used to be like all about the Scoville, right? It was like, how much Scoville can you get in a bottle?
Yeah.
We need to make like, cause I remember like back in high school, it was like you had like everyday hot sauce, right? Like your Tapatio and Cholula and stuff. And then on the other...
What, not Tabasco, Tim? Not the one that they put on every fucking restaurant thing because it's the just vinegar and cayenne and literally not hot in any single way?
It's fine.
Yeah.
They actually have a green one that is pleasant.
Yeah. But you like, can always tell people that really like hot sauce because they don't, like Tabasco doesn't even register as hot sauce.
No, of course not.
Yeah. It's just what's everywhere.
I mean, Tabasco to me is the same thing as like if you go to an Italian restaurant and there's like a glass jar of like vinegar and little tiny peppers that you can sprinkle onto your stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have like the weak stuff and then like Blair's Mega Death Sauce with extract. Or what, you know, the ones that they come in like a coffin and or like it's like an eyedropper.
Yeah. Because one drop will make your mouth destroyed.
Explode. For the next, yeah.
2 days.
But my turning point has been like because I have some bottles of some super hot stuff and I never have any like reason to pull them out unless like you're making. You want to make something spicy, like you want to make a big pot of something spicy and you can add like, you know, 2 drops in there to make it edibly spicy.
It spreads throughout the whole mixture to.
Yeah. So I've moved to like an everyday use case scenario. That's really what I like these days. And fan of the show, I try to remember who. Someone sent
ASGXYZ.
Okay. They sent a couple of hot sauces to me. One was a pineapple habanero that I think I finished half the bottle now.
Yeah.
Like 2 or 3 weeks. It's so good. I looked up the makers and was like, I gotta like try what they have. So I went to the website and they had a pick 6 option. You just like pick 6 of their flavors and they'll send them to you.
Oh, like a build your own 6 build pack your you own. Get for beer at like a liquor store. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, so I actually, did that.
I think that was Heisenworm that sent the hot sauces.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that and I could have gotten the, you know, I don't think they make anything too crazy, but I could have gotten the, you know, Ghost Reaper burn yourself hot sauce or I think the highest I went, I got some Scorpion hot sauce. But, you know, I did my due diligence and did some, you know, looking up and people were like, oh, yeah, this is a good, you know, scorpion pepper based hot sauce that you can use every day that, you know, you won't leave. It won't get dusty in your cabinet because you have nothing to put it on.
Yeah.
So I got those and I've been really happy with them. And then the other one they sent was it's a pretty hot, it's a garlic Reaper sauce. And, for a Reaper sauce, it's pretty, on the everyday side. I've really enjoyed it. But yeah, I was just thinking about, you know, back in the day it was like, oh, you got to have the super hot turbo fire engine sauce.
Well, they make that podcast or YouTube channel Hot Ones where they have 10 sauces and you like try eat the wings with progressively hotter ones and then you can buy like their season of sauce and
except they price their stuff way out the ass.
Yeah, do well of course they do because it's like a meme.
That's yeah, it's a meme it's, now. Yeah.
It's not for people who actually want to like put hot sauce on their food.
No, which is weird because they, you know, they go out and get all these boutique sauces, which is I think probably the saving grace of that show is they look out, they look for, you know, smaller boutique hot sauces and it gets on the show and it gets that company, you know, traction and distribution.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not on the hot sauce bandwagon. Like I'll eat spicy food. I love salsa, but when it comes to just putting hot sauce on food, it's like, well, if you don't like the flavor of the food, then cook it better. Right. Like, cause you could make a spicy pizza by like making your sauce more with like more spicy spices in the, in the thing, or putting peppers in your tomato sauce, rather than just like taking pizza that's already been assembled and then just, I'm going to lather this in gross. It's the same, but I have the same problem with people that like dip their pizza in ranch. Like, pizza is not a delivery vehicle for ranch. Pizza's food. It's not like French fries, you fucking weird perverts. And, but places like Mazzio's will send a 16-ounce container of ranch with their like family meal deal.
That's the weirdest thing in the world is the like, dipping pizza.
Yeah,
it's such a weird thought to me.
Like, if I get a calzone, it comes with marinara. That's one thing. And sometimes I think Mazzio's is they had a deal where it was like a calzone and a medium one topping pizza for like $20. It actually, what it was a calzone and a medium one topping pizza. And it was $11 when Truckin' and Tuckin' and I worked at the party supply store in 2012. Yeah. And now it is $22.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And, so then sometimes when I finish a piece of pizza and I just had the crust, I would dip the crust in the marinara also. But like, I know a guy who his family, they always order the meal deal and then they'll order an extra pint of ranch and then they eat it. They consume it all with whatever pizzas they're ordering. And I'm just like, that's ridiculous. You can go to the store and just buy ranch. You don't have to get it from Mazzio's.
Yeah. You can buy it pre-made. You can buy like you can buy the powder packs and just like get a 50-gallon drum and make, you know, your own 50-gallon drum of ranch if you're going to use that much.
It's revolting. Like, it's not even, I hate that that's like the default salad dressing everywhere you go. It's just, oh yeah, salad with ranch. Give me some real fucking food, please. Has nothing to do with hot sauce, but
sure. But yeah. On pizza, I've had that pineapple habanero sauce on pizza, and it's a great, it's so, that sauce is so pineapple forward that it's like having Hawaiian pizza.
Some people would say that's a bad thing.
Well, they're wrong.
They are wrong, but they're wrong because you should be able to put whatever you want on pizza.
Yes.
I hate that debate.
But like,
pineapple doesn't go on pizza. Then don't order it.
Yeah. But I will say, on the other hand, you should be freely able to diss any pizza topping
that you don't like.
Not to say that it doesn't belong on pizza, but.
Oh, just say I don't like a thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like mushrooms on pizza, which is why I don't order pizzas with mushrooms on them.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what goes on pizza?
Meat. Usually sauce and cheese and some form of meat.
Yeah. Only meat. They're really, if we got rid of all the vegetable toppings from pizza, that would be perfection. There'd never be an argument. Nobody's ever like, I don't like Canadian bacon. You have people that don't like pepperoni because it's too spicy. It's like, come on. Pepperoni is like the first spicy thing you're introduced to as a human. As a
child, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this has got a little bit of zip to it. By the time you're 8, you should be unimpressed by the spiciness of pepperoni.
Unless you have like a whole pepperoni, like not sliced, and you take a full mouth bite of it.
Even then, I think you should probably be able to push through.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
At that point, like, you should be going to Mexican restaurants and eating the table salsa, which is also not spicy.
Yeah.
And being able to like eat foods that have pepper and cayenne and cumin in it and be like, this is good, and not cry like a bitch.
Yes.
That's a good do get, Tim. Thank you. Here's what I do get. One shots. And not the Marvel one shots that they did during like phase one, kind of like as a bonus feature on the DVDs.
Yeah.
Not that kind of one shot. When I say one shot, what I mean is stuff that is so good that you just do it in one go. So like a couple days ago, I was at work and I'm like overseeing the show, but I don't have anything to do for it. So during pre-show and whatever, I pull up a book on my phone and I start reading it. Mm-hmm. And then the show starts, and rather than like edit the podcast, I just kept reading this book. I ended up reading this book in the time it took them to do the show, and from their pre-show notes all the way through to the end of their show, I had finished this book.
Nice.
Because it was so well done that I couldn't put it down. And I think that's like,
yeah,
the best review of any book ever is like, I couldn't put it down. I read it in one day. When I was talking about Reacher, my biggest praise of it was that I literally couldn't, I watched the entire series. I just sat down and watched it.
That's the best review you can give anything.
And it wasn't because it wasn't like 24, you know, every episode of 24 supposedly takes place on one day. And the end of every hour, Jack Bauer is in some mortal peril. Like, is he going to make it next week? Tune in to find out. Yeah. Oh, he made it. That's crazy. They do that every episode, and it's just to keep the tension, to keep you wanting to come back. Whereas Reacher was, every episode was kind of like nicely resolved its own plot. Any questions it introduced were questions pertaining to the overarching plot.
Yeah.
And so if something was introduced as a problem in this episode that was solvable, it was solved by the end of the episode. You didn't leave an episode with like Reacher, you know, standing with a gun in his face, like, oh my God, is he going to make it to the next episode? Well, the whole fucking show's called Reacher, so I got to kind of guess that he's going to survive for the rest of this season, at least, before they write him out and replace him with a black woman. Things that you just can't get enough of in a totally natural way where they've made the product so good that you want to consume it, is the best form of content. It
totally is. And I've done that with like a couple shows recently. Ted Lasso season 2, I finally caught up with that, and I did a straight shot, all 12 episodes, and then Severance, which is also on Apple TV Plus or whatever it's called. I remember seeing the trailer for it and being like, that looks creepy and weird and in a exciting and new way. Mm-hmm. And I did that in a straight shot, and I recommend that show to anyone.
Yeah. And like, when you think about it, this is why over the last few years I've moved more towards movies as my like choice of entertainment, because a movie you watch 2 hours or 90 minutes, whatever it is, and then it's over. you're not looking at a 26 episode season that you have to power through, or a 10 episode season. I'm almost finished watching Breaking Bad, and I got to the mid season finale of season 5. And I just remember being so pissed off at that whole idea that like, oh yeah, this season's also this is, I think they were doing like 13 episode seasons or 16 episode seasons. And they're like, yeah, this is definitely a 16 episode season. They stopped shooting in September, and then they started shooting the next episode in August of the following year.
Yeah.
That's a 6th season. You did 2 8 episode seasons. Just fucking admit that. But that show is so, like, it so needs to end with a cliffhanger to make you be like, oh, what's going to happen next week? Oh my God. And just build up the mystery with the flash forwards and everything. And the flash forwards don't really add anything. The flashbacks, whenever they like give character backstory by showing some earlier event in their life, that is necessary. But the flash forwards is just like, ooh, what's going to happen this rest of the season on Breaking Bad? Like, hey, dipshits, I'm going to watch the whole season. You don't need to tease me with what happens at the end, at the beginning of the season, so that I'm like, well, I got to stay here and watch. But that was TV of the time.
It was that flash forward thing was like, how in the world are they going to get to this point?
And they Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was doing it. They did it all the time in Lost. Like, it was, it, was such a lame trope. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. would do was I by season three, I was so done with it because they would like come back from the summer break and it'd be like, everything's changed. It's been 6 months. Oh my God. Daisy's out of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then they would quickly reset back to the status quo. And then they would quickly tell in flashbacks what happened in the intervening time so that we'd all be caught up. And it's just like, I'm not really interested in the mystery because if you told the story linearly, it would be, that would be good. They did a play when I was an undergrad and it was like all about math and it was like 7.5 hours long and it was terrible, but it was two separate stories. One story was in like 1880 about this lady who was coming up with these crazy math formulas. Mm-hmm. She was like detecting the source of our universe. And then there was a thing in like the 1980s where they were checking out this house and looking into all this stuff. And they were like discovering mysteries that were revealed in the 1880 sections. And then they would reveal in the 1980 sections. And it was just long and dull. And I when we were talking about it, I said, to do a story with a non-linear time story, if you take the story and put it back linearly, it has to also be captivating.
Yeah.
If you rearrange the play so that we just saw the 1880s and then we took an intermission and we came back into the 1980s, you would have no interest in what was happening in the 1980s because you already know the answers to all of their questions. Yeah. And vice versa. If you switched it and did the 1980s first and then revealed everything with the 1880s, you once again have already answered all the questions. So it's just a long, boring play about nothing. A long, boring play about math. And who fucking likes math? Nobody. Yeah. And the book that I was reading, it did a similar thing where it was two separate timelines. One was in the, ironically, 2020, the first Saturn exploration mission in the Star Trek universe. And then one was set in like 2270 in the fifth year of Kirk's 5-year mission that we see in the original series. And, but both story. And so it would be like one chapter would be about 2020 and the next chapter would be about 2777 and then 2020 and 2077. Okay. And, but both stories were interesting. Like they were interrelated enough, but they weren't interrelated you were dependent on the other to figure it out. And that was what made me think about this play. Like that play was torture. Whereas this book was just, I was just like, I got to keep reading, got to like solve this mystery with them. And it was well written in that the way that a good mystery is written and that you're either solving it just before they tell you in the book or right as they tell you in the book. There was a joy of content when you were a kid when like you'd be reading a book and you'd be like, all right, time to go to bed. And you're like, I've only got like 30 pages left. Like, let me just finish this.
Yeah.
That just goes away when you're an adult. Like you're just, it's hard to find something that's that good again.
It is. Yeah.
And so when you do find something like that, when you find like a TV show that you can't stop watching because you enjoy it so much, or you find a book that you can't put down or a comic that, you know, you want to read the next issue right away. It's really nice.
It is. I think the being able to one shot something is, I mean, it's the best review you can give something.
And I guess video game too.
Oh yeah, I think that especially considering most of them are so long, you know.
Yeah, like Arkham City.
Yeah.
When I first played Arkham City, I beat that game in a day, in like 20 hours or something.
And not because, you know, it's a short game.
No, it was just I was like I want to know what happens with the story. Like I want to get back to it and just kept playing and playing and playing. That was the last video game that was like that I just had to keep playing. I played Mafia recently and I did play that, but I was happy to like walk away between sessions and I wasn't, I wasn't like setting my computer back up when I got somewhere to be like, let me play another mission real quick. It was like, I'll play this when I have the time to play it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, it's been so long since I've done a one shot on a game. Mostly just cause they're so long.
Yeah.
So to me, it's more like, the equivalent is like wanting to play it for 8 hours straight and then only, you know, having to put it down because you have to like force yourself to put it down.
Yeah. I got somewhere to be. I got to go to bed.
I got to go to work. I got to do something. I can't just stay here and be a degenerate.
I wish it'd be nice if you could, though.
It would be very nice.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the middle of our episode, which means it's time for saying thank you to all of our patrons, big and small, for supporting the show. Without you, we wouldn't still be doing this. And while we're trying to make all these back-loaded episodes up and continuing the show in its new format, we hope that you stay with us to keep supporting the show, be it, you know, $1 or $5, like you're supporting to get this bonus episode. So thank you so much to everybody who supports the show. That's it. Tim, what's your second do you get this month?
Here's what I do get. Bad adaptations.
You get that?
I do. And here's why. I tried to watch the Amazon original Paper Girls.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Lords of Power, Rings of Power. No,
I might look at those.
You know where they lost me with that?
What?
Not with the Wee Was Kang shit. That I didn't really care about. No, where they lost me on that show was that I was trying to log into the Amazon app to track a package. And every time I click on the Amazon app, it would do this full page banner, Rings of Power. Yeah. And it was like a 20 second unskippable ad for a show that I'm not fucking interested in.
Yeah.
So I pulled up Rings of Power on the computer, on my TV, hit play, let it play for 2 episodes. And then I went in and gave it a 1-star review because fuck you guys.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah. Because it wouldn't let you review it unless you watched it.
Yeah. Well, I tried to watch Paper Girls, which is an adaptation of a comic that I enjoy. It's touted. I don't like saying this, but the closest thing people call it is it's Stranger Things before Stranger Things was a thing.
Okay.
It's 80s nostalgia, young kids, sci-fi stuff. I watched the first episode. I got through most of the second episode. And the entire time I was thinking, this is not as good as I remember the comic being. And I can see the changes they're making and I understand some of them, don't like most of them. And so I said, you know what? It's getting late. I'll power through episode 2 and I've got the complete collection of the comic. I'll pull that out. And like, at least, you know, read the first couple issues and be like, you know, do a comparison. It's a 30 issue comic and I read about half of it in an hour and a half, which is a lot. And it's the thing where I couldn't put it down. The entire time I'm reading, I'm like, this is so much better than this show. It's so much better. There's stuff they're leaving out. There's stuff they're changing. And it's just not as good. And so this bad adaptation gave me a whole new, like, it just renewed my
interest in the
interest in the original. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I got to thinking about, like, well, I thought, like, this was the first time I had encountered this, but then I'm like, well, there was the terrible Hellboy reboot. And like that only further cemented you know, my love of the character and series by it being so bad. It was so bad. It's a weird sensation. Like, it was so bad that I'm like, well, I'm glad, you know, the original isn't like that. I can always go back. I always have that, and I can always go back to it. There's been a lot of bad adaptations really, recently.
Yeah. All of New Trek.
Yeah.
It's Star Trek Day, by the way. Did you, they're trying to make that a thing
today.
Yeah. September 8th, 1966 was when the first episode of Star Trek aired. And, so they've tried for the last few years to make Star Trek Day a thing ever since they fucked up by not releasing, Discovery on September 8th, 2016.
Yeah.
Cause they're fucking, cause they're not planners. So they released this graphic and it's got Picard, old Picard. It's got Janeway, who is the hologram from the new kid show, not like the actress.
Yeah.
They've got the guy from Strange New Worlds as Captain Pike. They've got Michael Burnham from Discovery. They've got one of the people from Lower Decks. A couple others, and then in the background they've got like a tiny Sisko, a Kirk head, and a tiny Jonathan Archer, and it's just like, yeah, all you legacy captains, get to the back of the bus. This is a new franchise. We got more captains than you now.
Yeah.
So fucking embarrassing.
Yeah. But you know, you didn't give up Star Trek because of these bad, you know, bad New Trek. It made you, you know, you still watch the series and you've gone back, you know, into the books for more good stuff of what you like.
Yeah.
So that's a bad adaptation. It's, I don't know if there's anything else like it that, I don't know if you can relate it to anything else where it's something is so bad that it will make you like the original better.
A step parent. Wow. No, I'm kidding. I don't actually mean that about my stepmother, but that was what like came to mind.
Wow.
Like, ah,
amazing.
The step parent is so bad. I wish my mom was still here, but she's dead. Like in every movie with the teenage girl with angst.
Yes. Yes.
My dad didn't love me. Uh-huh. Yeah. I can see how that would, I think every reboot kind of pushes people more towards liking the original. Like with every subsequent Predator movie that gets released, the original film just looks better.
It looks better and better.
And I think that's almost true of like culture in general, where the Matrix is a good example of this. Like the original Matrix film is a nearly perfect movie.
Yeah.
And then the Reloaded is like, okay, and then the Revelations was like, oh right, this is really not that great. They should have kept it to one movie. And then they did the new one, Resurrections, and that movie was so bad, bland.
I have put all of it out of my mind.
Whereas in your head, right, you can play moment from original film.
Oh yeah,
and so yeah, it's like. They're sequels, so they're continuing, but it's almost a bad adaptation of these things.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of more versions of that. Like when you get weird versions of Batman or Spider-Man, like when Azrael takes over as Batman following Nightfall,
mm-hmm.
and then if you read that like Nightfall quadrilogy, which is several years of issues. After Batman's back gets broken and during the Azrael stuff, that shit is boring as fuck.
Oh yeah. Azrael as Batman, not good.
Yeah. Whereas Azrael as Azrael is pretty all right.
Pretty all right. Yeah.
And then you get to like the last one and it finally picks back up with Bruce coming back as Batman. You're like, thank God. Cause this was getting to be dog shit.
He beats up Azrael. It's great.
The movie Steel. I watched that somewhat recently.
Yeah, I think you told me that. I haven't watched it since I was a kid.
I didn't watch it as a kid. I never saw it, but I watched that movie and it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's not great. It's just kind of a bland superhero movie for kids. But it did make me kind of want to go back and reread that, Reign of the Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, John Henry Irons is such a cool character.
He's such a cool character, man. I tried to read something he was in recently. I went back and read some stuff from the DC Rebirth era that I had never read. I was trying to read Superwoman.
Yeah.
And he's in that a lot because they paired him up with, romantically. They paired him up with Lana Lang in the comics eventually. Go ahead.
That also got me thinking about that character, right? Of John Henry Irons. They killed Superman, so they needed to, I don't know how much they had planned after death of Superman to bring him back or whatever, but they needed to make a new character. And like right now we would just make Superman black in a new TV show or movie to be like, we got black Superman now. And they made a character that like fills the role of Superman, but he's not Superman and he's black and he's his own character. Like he doesn't have superpowers. He's not from Krypton. So he built a robot suit to match those things. And, and he has a hammer because it's cool. Like,
and like based on a strong African-American historical figure.
Yeah. And so there's a lot going on there that makes that character interesting. Like I think that was one of the problems with the Steel film is they tried to make Steel separate from Superman. Yeah. And that doesn't really work. You need to understand. But even after Superman comes back, like he kills Android Superman or Cyborg Superman. Superboy dies, doesn't he?
I haven't read my new omnibus yet. So,
and then what's the other one?
The Eradicator.
The Eradicator has to get wiped out. And then, but John Henry Irons stays around and Superman gives him one of his capes and he's like, you can continue being a Superman. Well, that's when Superman's in his like capeless black suit for a little while.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And so I watched that movie and I did get that same feeling as you did. Like maybe I should go revisit this and look more into this character that I thought was so cool when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That I identified with, even though we didn't have the same skin color. And how wild is that?
Crazy how the 90s were like that.
It's probably illegal. I identified more with John Henry Irons than I think I did with Superman.
Yeah. Who was my favorite Power Ranger?
Tommy.
The black one, Zach. Zach is my favorite Power Ranger because you know why? One, because I think out of all of the characters, or out of all the actors, he was the one that was most, like, he had the most, like, actual martial arts, like, knowledge and expertise, and it showed in the fight scenes when they were just, you know, when they were out of their suits.
Yeah.
But he was the, the white and black suit is just cool, color wise. He had an axe, which was awesome, an axe that was also a gun.
Yeah.
And his Zord was the Mastodon, which is, it's cooler than a pterodactyl. It's cooler than a saber-toothed tiger. It's cooler than a triceratops.
Is it cooler than a giant green dragon?
No.
Yeah.
But no one's going to say they didn't love the Green Ranger. But he was my favorite when I was a kid, and he's black, and it's I've hated how we've regressed on
their rules and stuff like that. By their rules, you should have been miserable your entire life because there wasn't a Peruvian character for you to identify with. Sure, they had Mexicans, but and I'm sure if you brought that point up, they'd be like, well, we have like Hispanic characters. Like, yeah, they're from Mexico or from Honduras. Like, what's the difference? Yeah, you're a racist. That's the difference, you piece of shit. Yeah, it's a shame though that you have to get a bad adaptation to appreciate the original.
It is, yeah.
I think you can also still appreciate the original with a good adaptation.
I do too, especially when it's different enough that it makes you want to be like, oh, those are some cool changes. What was it like in the original? Let me go, you know, revisit that.
Yeah. What's the one, the cartoon that everyone's talking about where the guy's like, look at what they have to do to imitate Limitless?
Invincible. Yeah.
You were telling me that one, they like crammed the first 10 issues into the first half hour of the show.
No. That was Paper Girls.
Invincible, that was Paper Girls.
Yeah. Invincible is very well paced. It's the first, it's 12 episodes and it's the first 12 issues of the comic.
Moon Knight with taking, you know, big long yes. arcs and yeah. compressing those down to 25 minutes.
No, Paper Girls. The first episode is 35 minutes long and it covers the first 6 issues of the comic.
Wow. I have a 30 which is minute thing
of a 30 issue. It's 1/5 of the comic in the first episode of an 8 episode series.
That way they could go do kind of their own thing.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good issue, Tim. Here's what I do get. Catching Porch Pirates. Didn't get to kill him.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. So yesterday it's been rainy. It rained all weekend, so I couldn't mow the lawn. So I got up and mowed the lawn first thing. And one of the things that I do whenever I mow the lawn is I unlock the front door in case I need to come inside the house or mm-hmm. anything real quick. So I unlock the front door and look out there. There's nothing. This is maybe, you know, 9 or 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30. I mow the front yard first. Then I mow the backyard, put the lawnmower away, come back in the back door, sit down to cool off for a little bit. And my house is laid out in a way where if I'm in the living room, I can see out the window to the front porch pretty much. I mean, that's where the front door is. So I'm sitting kind of cooling off for a little bit, decide to make some lunch because I have to go into work by 1. At this point, it's maybe 11:15, 11:30. Make some lunch, turn on the TV, sit down. I start eating. I catch motion out of the corner of my eye and I get up to get my... And they didn't knock. It wasn't like someone walked up and knocked like, hello, sir, would you like to buy blue ribbon sausage? There's just motion going on my porch. So I get up to go get my gun and I get my gun and I go into the bedroom to look out the other side of the front porch. And I see these people now walking down my steps and they're talking to my neighbor across the street. So I holster my gun and step out on my front porch and my neighbor's like, hey, did you see those people? I said, yeah, I caught them out of the corner of my eye. What was that? And he said, they're going around checking people's doors, looking for packages. Yeah. And I look over and sure enough, there's a package on my front porch that must've been delivered while I was mowing the backyard. Cause it wasn't delivered when I was sitting here cooling off or eating lunch and $200 or more worth of cigars in this package. Yeah. And he caught them and ran them off. And he's like, yeah, if you see him again, you should call the police. And it's a guy like a fucking skeezy looking dude with one of those ball caps where the brim hasn't been bent down and fucking covered in tattoos and shorts and like a polo. And then she's carrying this gigantic purse that is completely flat. I was tempted to chase him down and rob them with my weapon.
Give them a taste of their own medicine.
Yeah, it's a shame that like you can't shoot someone fleeing your property because I was
can't you?
Not if their back is to you. If they're inside my house, I can shoot them, but the second they turn around, I can't shoot them anymore because they're no longer a threat. But yeah, that I have a gun hidden in my house in a centralized location. My hidden gun got accessed this week because it was the closest one. I was pretty perturbed. And then I was really happy that my neighbor happened to catch those people and save me. It was a Cigars International had a 1-day deal and it was a 20 pack of cigars. And it's samplers, so it's like a 5-pack of different Cohibas, a 5-pack of different Partagas, cut in 2 other 5-packs that I don't remember. Punch, and I then the fourth one. They're over there. I can't see them though. Yeah. And it was like $60 for what, you know, retail value, $200+ sure. dollars. And I sent it to everyone I know that's like interested in cigars. I don't think any of them bought it. It's a great deal, and they're like good. They're good cigars. So I would have been pissed if that had gotten stolen by those people.
Yeah.
So like I've been putting off putting up my security cameras because I need more than what I currently have. And I'm like, well, I need to buy it. Should I like go ahead and put these up? Should I wait to buy more? So I need to just go ahead and start put the cameras up on the front.
At least get the porch one up. Yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm going to do 2 on the front porch shooting, cross shooting. So that if you walk up the steps, you're on 2 cameras from 2 angles.
Yeah.
And then the entire porch is covered. So there's nowhere to hide. Like I'll be able to see anything that's on the front porch. And then I want to do one on the peak of the house, looking at the sidewalk. So I catch you like walking up the steps onto the porch where you're seen. And then I want to do one over the garage and at the back door. So I just need to go on Amazon and order them. And I guess then I'll end up with one more that I'll need to figure out where to put somewhere, because they're sold in 2-packs.
You've got a basement, and I wonder if if you have a basement in your house, you should have like a package drop.
I have a coal chute. I should
turn that into a package drop.
Yeah, put a sign on there to like FedEx deliver to this thing. That would actually make a lot of sense, because then I could put. It would just fall into a little room. I could just put a basket down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But then someone might try and climb through it.
Hmm. So you cover the inside with spikes.
Yeah.
But not enough to like. Hmm. Yeah. How would you prevent someone from.
I guess I could put a padlock on there. But then if you get multiple package deliveries from multiple people.
Yeah.
I should workshop that, because that wouldn't be, it'd be a lot harder for someone to climb into a coal chute on the side of your house. I guess I could, I don't remember if that room has a door downstairs, but I could put a door on that and with a deadbolt so that you can't come in that door. So then if someone climbed into it, they could steal a package, but they couldn't get into my house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then if I got a package, I just have to walk downstairs and open up the thing. I'd probably start a trend, because every house on the street has a coal chute too.
Nice.
But that would be like absolutely secure package delivery.
Yeah. I wonder if you could do like some sort of one-way flaps or something.
So
you can push it through, but you can't
pull it back out.
Yeah.
Yeah. One second. Someone's asking about what cigars. Yeah, so got this batch of Punch 5-pack sampler. I got a La Gloria Cubana 5-pack sampler. This Partagas 5-pack sampler. And then a bunch of Cohibas in a 5-pack sampler. And I don't think I've had the Black, the Connecticut, or the Puro Domino. So I'm looking forward to this 5-pack. This 5-pack makes it all worth it.
Is the Puro Domino a German cigar?
No, it's probably from Nicaragua. It's not from Nicaragua. It's probably from like, I don't know. I don't think
it sounds Germany like a German cigar.
Can grow tobacco. They're too busy. You know, they would burn it all up in all those ovens. Like spread. But yeah, catching the porch pirates, we've all seen the videos where like the porch pirate gets caught. Mm-hmm. and those all feel great. You know, I've been the time that I got porch pirated, because it's only happened to me once, but it was a box that I had like folded up these ratty curtains that I didn't like, and put them in this box and then set that box outside my apartment with the plan of I was cleaning the apartment. I was cleaning out some other stuff. And I was like, yeah, when I take out the trash after I sweep and Swiffer mop, I'll just grab that box and go throw them away. And I walk out at the front door and go throw the thing away. And then I was like, wait, what happened to that box that was on my front porch? Apparently it had been stolen. Someone was like, that's funny. We got a score. Oh, they're ratty curtains. Great. Really,
who would order these?
That's the other thing is like this package is cigars, which I guess if you like cigars, it'd be worth it. But if you don't like cigars, you could go try and sell them to someone for some money.
I guess, but
The other packages that I ordered this week were deadbolts and knobs from Quickset and a bunch of textbooks that were damaged in the flood that I like to keep around. They're like theater textbooks that I reference every once in a while. But I know the minute that I don't have them anymore, I'll be like, it's like drafting for the theater, the backstage handbook, rigging. There's a rigging textbook that I used to have. And every so often I'll like grab that book and be like, what, how do I do this thing again? Okay, that's right. And then I'll do it. And so I knew as soon as I don't have access to them anymore that I would then want. So someone would steal a package from my porch this week. It would be like drafting for the theater. Nobody wants that book except for me.
Yeah.
And then you just, it probably just end up thrown away somewhere because you're an asshole.
Yeah.
Get a job. What the fuck is your problem?
Yeah. Occasionally you see like a porch pirate video and it's like the person is like in an the car they're driving is an Escalade and they're wearing nice clothes. Yeah. And you're like, at this point, you're just like a kleptomaniac on steroids.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, like, there's got to be no punishment for this, because have you ever heard of someone being convicted for porch pirating? I'm sure that, like, if you did get caught, the police, let's say the police caught you, right? They catch you, they arrest you, they take you to jail. If you don't have any priors, they're probably putting you out on a plea deal where you're, like, on probation for 18 months. If you get caught again, maybe you'll spend a few, 90 days in jail or something. We need to go back to, like, fucking... what was the law of the Hebrews before Moses?
Eye for an eye, you mean?
Yeah, the eye for an eye. Isn't that like the Harambe code or something?
it is the Harambe code.
The code of Hammurabi or whatever. Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
If you get caught fucking stealing packages off someone's porch, we cut off your fucking hand. You get caught again, we cut off your other fucking hand. And then there'd be a bunch of fucking handless people wandering around. Because it also aids into social stigma. Yes. So you're like, say you're a worker at McDonald's or whatever, and someone comes in, they're like, yeah, I'd like a Big Mac meal with a large fries, a Diet Coke. I'm like, all right, is there anything else I can get for you? No, that's going to be it. And then you like hand them the tray and they've got one hand and a stub. You're like, this guy's a porch pirate. He's a porch pirate. He's only got one hand. And they're not allowed access to prosthetics. Prosthetics are for people who lose their limbs in tragic accidents. Yeah. You're a porch pirate. You get nothing. You walk around with a stump like a bitch.
My favorite porch pirate video is it's like from the Ring doorbell point of view. And it's the guy comes up and picks it up and goes to walk off. And the owner walks out with a rifle in his hand.
Yeah.
And it's just like, put it back. Put it back. And the guy is extremely just okay. I'm so sorry. I'm very sorry. I'm putting it back.
Yeah. What I would have done, this is what I would do. If I got someone at gunpoint like that, I make them take their wallet out.
Yes.
And give me their ID. And then I'd be like, now I know your address. If another package disappears from my porch, I'm going to come looking at your address.
Even if you didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you have a porch pirate protecting your property. We live in a world where a criminal justice system protects criminals and punishes law-abiding citizens.
Yeah.
So if you are like a normal person who just wants to have a gun with a 30-round magazine, you are going straight to jail. But if you're like a career criminal who rapes and murders and steals and sells drugs, it's just like, it's fine. You're underprivileged or whatever. It's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous world we live in. It's clown world. We live in a clown world.
We need to have like an extreme version of the, was it California, the three strikes law?
Yeah. Oh, the law that they don't follow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need a version of that where it's like, it's three strikes and you're out.
Yeah.
Three felonies. Your third felony, you get life and life in prison and or the death penalty.
There's a lawsuit going on with that law right now because like this district attorney says that it's unfair and it prosecutes people unfairly, but he hasn't enforced it at all. Cause what it's supposed to be is you get, so your first felony is like, all right, you fucked up. Your second felony, your first felony is brought into consideration within a period of time. And I think it's 10 years. And so you have to get the mandatory minimum sentence, and then there's an additional to whatever your second felony is. Your third felony is that mandatory minimum sentence plus 15 years, I think. So it's, but they haven't enforced any of that at all. So they're claiming that it's unfair because it punishes people unfairly, but they haven't actually used it to punish anybody because they don't believe in actual law and order. All they believe in is lining their own pockets. And this is why everyone who works with the government should be shot into space. So anyway, well, that's my do get catching porch pirates. My neighbor saved me several $100 in cigars.
Awesome.
And hopefully scared those people off from wandering up and down our streets again.
So, hopefully next time you catch them.
Yeah.
In
the middle of the night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Give me your wallet. Do you have any money in your wallet? I'll take that money.
Yeah.
Guess what? This thing just became a robbery.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you going to call the police?
What do you call the police? Hey, this guy robbed me. Okay. Where were you? It was in his house. Okay. Why are you guys friends? No, forcefully entered.
See, that would be the thing, especially if I have a good camera set up on the front of my house. Let them get the package, let them get walked out of the camera range, and then go rob them. And then they call the police like, that guy robbed us, and be like, I didn't rob them, but actually those guys are the ones from this video stealing that package off my porch. That's crazy. And then they'll be like, where's the package, guys? He took it back from us. That's correct. Well, how would I take the package back from them? Yeah. That would be a great gaslighting. And then, do you want to press charges? Yes, I want to prosecute these people to the maximum power of the law. I want them to go to jail for the rest of their fucking lives.
Yeah.
I want their families to know that the reason why they're in prison is because they stole from the wrong motherfucker. So. Well, that's my do get, and that is our bonus episode for April. So thank you everybody for supporting the show. Hope you're enjoying us catching back up. Until next time, I'm Tab Burt.
I'm Tim the Handlebreaker.
Catch you next month.